This is the Packer and Durham Podcast, Hour 2.
Mark Packer, Wes Durham, we do appreciate Kelly Gramlich, who joined us.
She was awesome, as always.
Always good.
Yep.
Despite the fake ficus tree in the background, she got us up to speed on the ACC Women's Tournament, which starts this weekend. On Friday, we will depart the lovely confines of the basement, and we will be somewhere in the vicinity of the Greensboro Coliseum Complex. Neighborhood up.
You know what would be really cool? If they put us down there in the Greensboro Generals locker room from years gone by.
It'd be better if we were in Stamey's to have breakfast, a little barbecue before they open the doors for the general public.
Ooh. Then we'd be like Golic and Wingo. We'd be like off-site someplace. It'd be kind of, yeah.
Hey, we're in the barbecue joint, man.
Yeah.
It's never off-site in a barbecue
joint. Hey, before we get to who the best team in the ACC is to start hour two here this morning, how about a happy birthday to Mom, huh?
Last night, we had Billy and Barb over, and again, Billy's birthday was last Monday.
Scrap Billy!
I don't know, I'm setting it up. Barb's birthday was yesterday.
Happy birthday, Barb.
So Mom, as she well knows, a saint, greatest mother on the planet, and so we had a little dinner celebration last night for
your mom and my mom.
Saints. Forget moms, saints.
Express lane?
Direct.
Right there.
200 and collect go, just go.
I mean, like, others are in this line, they're in that
line.
They
get the password, they get the free cut in line.
Yeah, that right there.
No doubt.
For what they've dealt with?
No doubt.
Oh, my God.
No doubt.
Could they write a book? Yes.
Yeah, but they really won't.
No.
They're not going to. They got better things to do.
Oh.
But you're right. So, Barb, happy birthday.
They like quiet.
I asked Mom yesterday when she rolled in, because they got here early. I said, so what was the best part about your birthday today? She goes, peace and quiet. I said, so you had Billy running errands, huh?
Sitting dad on the road, huh?
She's great.
Happy birthday, Barb.
Yep. Big birthday week. All right, you ready to roll?
All right, who's the best team in the league today?
I still think it's Florida State.
Wow.
Okay. I know they just lost, but you know what? Everybody just lost, it seems like. Virginia's playing their best basketball of the year. Duke, when they're on, really great. But you know what? They've really struggled on the road against unranked teams, losing three straight. Louisville, like their team a bunch too. Backcourt's still a little shaky.
Louisville is – the thing that concerns me about Louisville
– again, we're being picky now.
Oh, this is being real picky.
We're talking about the elite glob, right?
Yeah.
The elite glob now at the top.
Can Duke show me somebody else to score the ball other than Trey Jones and Vernon Carey?
Well, when they make threes, they could very well be the best team.
Okay.
But that's a big if.
All right.
They have not shot the ball well beyond the arc.
Do the slow starts for Louisville not concern you?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
I mean, it's 6 minutes in last night, and it's 2-2.
Wes, there are no great teams in college hoops.
None. I know that, yeah.
I mean, Kansas, Baylor, you give me San Diego State, you give me the combination of ACC teams you want, Kentucky. There are no great teams. Can people spike? Yeah, they can spike. That's the problem. Every time you fall in love with somebody, you go, man, this team right here, they're the difference maker. Then again, next time you watch them, they can't throw in the ocean. I would pick Florida State, though. I just think their defense is consistently good.
What about Virginia?
Every game, Wes, is a three-point game. Eventually, you know what? Eventually, you don't win that game. That's my point. I mean, their DNA, Tony Bennett, culture, their consistency, their will to win is phenomenal. But when you're playing good teams and it's always 52-50 with 4 minutes to go, eventually you don't win that game.
Six straight, 9 of 10.
I know they're playing their best basketball. There's no doubt. No doubt. I'm picking Florida State today. Now, if you ask me if they lose to Notre Dame, if you ask me on Thursday, I may give you a totally different answer. Every week we do accounting, it seems like it's different. I don't know.
Well, the middle is a mess.
You mean the?
The mid-glob.
Mid-glob.
Yeah, the mid-glob
the fine nines. Everybody's 9 and 9.
The fine nines.
Everybody's got a 9. I don't know.
By the way, what's at stake for Georgia?
I'll tell you what, if Clemson can play the ACC tournament in Little John, I'd tell you Clemson's the best team.
Well, Florida State, according to the bald men on campus Friday night, if Florida State could play the NCAA tournament in the Tucker Center, they'd win going away.
I like their chances. I really do.
If they play at home?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so do I. But Not when they've got to go potentially to Spokane or Points West.
The tournament, the big tournament, not the ACC tournament. When we get to March Madness,
it's going to be about location.
It's going to be, well, it's always about matchups, right? Mm-hmm. And great guard play. Your guards have to be good in March. That is the one thing that never changes about the tournament. Your guard play has to be, and that's what, it doesn't bother me, but that's what concerns me about Louisville. I mean, if they get consistent guard play, they can win it all. But sometimes their guards just kind of make me nervous.
Yeah.
We'll see. It's going to be fun.
Absolutely. Brad Brownell, by the way, joins us here in a few minutes. I'm curious to see how the mid-glob, the 9-9s, play out. Georgia Tech, just for the record here, kids, if they beat Pittsburgh and beat Clemson Friday night in a game on ESPN2, Georgia Tech will finish with a winning record in ACC play for the second time since 1996. When Stephon Marbury, Drew Barry, Matt Harpring, and with Bobby Cremins led the Jackets to a 13-3 regular season. They have had a winning ACC record one time since. Mm. 2003, 2004, they went 9-7. Now, they preserved this quest by winning on Saturday night against Miami. They've also beaten Louisville. I just got to tell you, they're one of the more curious teams. Now, there's this other storyline out there about the NCAA sanctions and their appeal and the tournament and all that. That ain't about this. This is a team that lost to Ball State on the scoreboard by 18, but it could have been 30, Pack, in December. When Alvarado was hurt, they were not a very good team. He came back to play against Georgia, was still hurt, then came back in Hawaii. They lost New Year's Eve to Florida State.
Let me tell you how important November scores are.
Oh.
In November, Evansville went to Rupp Arena and beat Kentucky. Saturday, Evansville lost to go 0-18 in league play.
Unbelievable.
Welcome to college basketball 2019-20. That's where we are, big picture.
Yeah. They lost to Syracuse by 34.
Yeah.
At home.
Yeah. You know, I saw some tweet yesterday just to show you how crazy the week could potentially be for the ACC, that Virginia Tech could finish anywhere from 14th to 6th. Based on how things fall this
right.
week. 14th to 6th. And they've won, what, one game, it seems like, in the last...
It's been a struggle.
...month and a half, it seems like.
Yeah, look, I'm going to be honest with you. They've lost four straight. He's done a great job there. He's done a really good job. They just... Pittsburgh, I think Jeff Capel's team is better. I know they disappointed you from what you thought they would be. Down the stretch. And, yeah, they've lost six straight. But I was having this discussion over the weekend with some people that follow the league. If good basketball decisions are made in the offseason, yeah, and I'm talking about kids saying, I'm going to go put my name in the draft or whatever. If kids make realistic basketball decisions, this could be a really good league next year.
The league's going to be terrific.
Right.
It's going to be terrific. And this was the transitional year when we asked the question to the – all the coaches in the kickoff, the tip-off thing, and give me one word to describe this, and everybody was just like unknown, unpredictable. And that's what it was. When you have nobody returning from first and second team and only, what, 13 of the top 15 gone from a year ago, this was going to be a year that, unlike any other ACC season we've ever seen from that perspective, but when you see who has emerged, the young players, and what's coming in from a recruiting perspective, especially with Blue Bloods, the 20-21 season – the league will be back to its typical watch out scenario. And I'll be honest with you, Wes, despite the national perceived notion the league is down, and from an NCAA tournament perspective, it is, because there are not going to be 7, 8, 9 teams getting in. The elite club can make some serious noise in this tournament. So,
those top four?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Quick call. Tremaine in North Carolina has been holding patiently. Tremaine, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I haven't talked to you all's beautiful faces in a little bit. Hope y'all doing well, and happy birthday to Barb. Well, it is a great, great day to be a UVA fan, and I don't know a more dangerous and more mysterious team going into the tournament than my Wahoos, because honestly, they're a team that could be eliminated in the first weekend, or they're a team you look up and they are playing in the Sweet 16. So I just got two quick questions for you guys, and just got a very interesting stat that I formulated, and you guys can check the research. But since 2013-14 season, okay, Roy Williams is 84-42, so 66%. Mike Krzyzewski is 90-36, a 71%. Tony Bennett is 102-24, an 81% chance. So, two questions. Are my Wahoos peaking at the right time, and do you think there should be considered another and new blue blood in UVA in the ACC?
All right. Thanks, Tremaine. Peaking at the right time. First of all, I like the word mysterious. I'm going to use that one again. I mean, you're 9-1 in your last 10, and your point differential is 31 points. That's why the Bennett Conlon stat or tweet is so unbelievable. The thing I look at with Virginia is this: peaking at the right time, maybe. I think you're playing together. I think you're overcoming some of your deficiencies. And by the way, you've locked it down on defense. I've always thought of them as a blue blood pack, really, since Chicago in the Elite Eight that year. I've always thought Virginia was a threat every year in the ACC.
Peaking, without question. Playing better than anybody in the league, quite frankly. Tony's done coming down the stretch. Mm-hmm. In terms of blue blood, it depends how you define it. In terms of what they've done in the ACC, there's no question that the Bennett decade plus, without question, Virginia's one of those teams.
Yeah. By the way, we told you Nothing But Net is going to be on the road. Not only Greensboro on Friday night, Saturday night, 8 o'clock, Kelsey Riggs, Luke Hancock, Dallin Cuff, Carlos Boozer will be live at Cameron following Duke Carolina 2. And they'll be there with a full look at the day in the ACC and more, and get you ready for the men's tournament. In fact, they'll probably be able to give you the bracket, is my guess, not long after the conclusion of Duke Carolina over on ESPN. That'll be ACC Network coverage, Nothing But Net, live from Cameron Saturday night following Duke Carolina on ESPN. When we come back, winners of four of their last five and their own flair for the dramatic, wouldn't you say?
No doubt.
By the way, I like those purple jerseys with the tiger paw. Wonder if we get to see those here down the home stretch. Maybe in Blacksburg. Brad Brownell with Packer and Durham next on a Monday on ACC Network.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a beautiful Monday, 844-SAY-ACCN
hey,
is the number.
By the way, there it is. The Hope Diamond of the ACC right there.
We need to make the announcement here pretty soon on what we're going to do with that.
Yep.
At some point in time.
Right.
We'll get around to it. But right now, we're going to get down to Tiger Town, where I think they're still celebrating. Because it was a big weekend, man. Softball's rocking.
Yeah.
Spring football practice is going on. Clemson baseball just took you to the Gamecocks as they normally do. And then it's this guy who's got him rocking and rolling at Little John. Here's Coach Brownell. First of all, good morning and congrats on another top six victim. Seems to be routine all of a sudden down there in Clemson, South Carolina.
Well, it's not routine, but it's been a good couple of months. We've had some good ones, that's for sure. How you fellas doing?
We're good. You got a flair for the dramatic on these type games too, don't you? You just kind of work it all the way down to the, you know, last 10, 15 seconds and go from there. Is that the way it goes?
Yeah, get out of the way is really what I do. Get the ball to Alamir Dawes and get out of the way. So, keep the coach on the side where he belongs. Let the players make the plays.
You know, you've had a bunch of guys step up to make plays, Coach. But I tell you what, you have found a gem in Dawes now. I mean, for a kid as a freshman who has really progressed as the season went on, he had no issue whatsoever. 8, 7, 6, 5. Hey, let's go to the basket, make a play.
No, he's courageous. We love his heart, his competitive spirit. He's one of those guys that, you know, the moment's not going to be too big for him. He's going to try to make a play. He's not afraid at all. And early in the year, he was a little too courageous and took a few too many chances. He's gotten a little better with his decision making, and he still has that aggressiveness that we want, especially in late game situations.
Was it? I mean, I'm going to ask this: was that the plan? I mean, what kind of options did he have on the last play? Obviously, he goes end to end here, but was there two or three other things he was looking for? I mean, what did he show you besides the shot on Saturday?
Well, we talked about during that little break. We talked about if they score that. You know, unless there's 3 or 4 seconds left, I'll probably call timeout. But if there's more than that, that we want to get it out and go. And if I like what I see, I'm just going to tell him to go. And if not, we'll call timeout at half court. But, you know, we got it in quick. He got a little bit of a head of steam. It was somewhat similar to Kayvon Moore making a play late in the game against Syracuse. And he just kind of went to the basket. And obviously he's got shooters wide if he needs one, but if there's space, he's going to the rim.
You know, the thing that impressed me the most about your team Saturday, Coach, taking the charge. I mean, you know, that was a total commitment on both ends. Florida State's so good. They put so much pressure on you on both ends with so many guys who can score and how great they play defensively. But I thought defensively, man, your kids manned up Saturday.
You know, we really did, especially in the second half. Nobody was more proud than my father, the old Indiana high school basketball coach who, that's his glory, man. If you take a charge, like he's your friend for life. So, my dad got a bunch of friends on Saturday. They just love it. And it was a big factor in the game. Our kids did a great job. We don't have much shot blocking. We lost Elijah's shot blocking from last year. So, we've got to try to protect our basket in other ways, and taking a charge is certainly one of those ways.
All right, I want to ask you about the collaborative effort of this team, because we talk about Dawes here. We have spent a lot of time talking about Amir Sims and John Newman and guys of that nature. But there are other guys, too. I mean, Jemison has given you steady minutes. This young man, Hemingway, looks like his mom dropped him off at the game, by the way. He comes off the bench and starts. I mean, he's typical Indiana catch and shoot. He's a Brownell guy if we've ever seen one, just the way he plays the game. You have collectively developed this team, and they all share in this. Now, Dawes, yes, he gets the big play, but I know you're proud of the collaborative effort your team has brought to the table here.
Yeah, we certainly are. We've had a lot of guys improve. Obviously, we had 7 new players come to our team, and to be honest with you, our 3 sophomores this year, none of them really played a lot as freshmen. And so this is the first time the Hunter Tysons and the John Newmans and the Trey Jemisons have, you know, played significant minutes. We think the bench really helped us in the Florida State game. Trey got 2 big offensive rebounds and one of them, a great pass to Hemingway for 3. Kayvon Moore gave us a couple nice baskets in transition and some defense with his length. You know, Clyde Trapp has really settled our team and given us another ball handler and just a mature guy who knows how to play and knows what I want done. That's been very good. Obviously, Tevin Mack was big in the last 4 or 5 minutes with a couple of big shots. So we're kind of a true team. Amir's probably our leader and the guy we play through the most. But when you play Florida State, you can't always get the ball where you want to get it all the time. You're going to have to use everybody, and that was a collective win for sure.
All right, so Trapp's up there, misses a free throw, ball's bouncing on the baseline. Here comes Sims. I think he has it.
I know where you're going.
I want to get to the bottom line here. So Sims is going after it. He looks like me trying to hold something he can't. Again, he throws this thing up over his head. We got whistles blowing. Next thing I know, Florida State's on a fast break, going in there to take the lead. All right, so you tell me. You got the best view. You got one official right there beside you. Got an arm up. Whistles are going all over the place. Walk me through this one. What's going through your mind? Is it our ball, Florida State's ball? What are we doing here? What's going through your head?
Well, what's going through my mind is I'm about to strangle Amir Sims for throwing the ball towards our basket. That's what I'm about to do. And all the whistles probably stop that. And he's going to hear about that here at the Monday practice. But it was a crazy play. He really made a great effort to go get the missed free throw. Obviously the bobbled ball, the inadvertent whistle. I don't think any of us knew what was going on for a while. We were in the huddle. We were planning defense. We were planning how to get the ball in bounds. There was too much because just took too much time probably. But I think in the end they got it right. And unfortunately for us, we did not get that stop and had to rely on a last-second play.
All right, let's talk about the delay because I think people all the time think, well, we're just standing around waiting. You're working on scenarios, and you and your staff are talking about personnel changes, things you want to do. You mentioned a moment ago you had the option to punch the timeout if you got to midcourt on the Dawes drive. I mean, all those type things, that's what you're working through with your kids and your staff, right?
Yeah, and sometimes there's so much time, you know, doesn't feel like there's that much to say to your guys. But in that scenario, there is. When you got the ball, if you get it, you're getting the ball in the rat's corner and you're trying to get it in against the best athletes in our league in Florida State. Mm-hmm. So the challenge of just getting that ball in bounds in a tough spot is something we were certainly addressing if it was our ball. And then the other thought was, obviously, more than likely it's going to be their ball. They're coming at us. Now, what are the scenarios? Hey, what do we think they're going to do first? We didn't do any good job coaching that way because we didn't stop them. And then if they score, what do we do next? Get the ball in bounds and get out of the way. So we were 1 for 2 in terms of decision making there by a coaching staff.
Have you mastered the court storming exit as a head coach after this season?
That's funny. No, we're happy to have another one on Friday. If we can beat Georgia Tech, that'd be great.
So what do you do, Coach? Do you like hang around and, or do you like, oh man, I know my way out of here. I'm gone. Catch you. What's the mindset of a coach?
No, man, we got to do the alma mater. You're a Clemson grad.
I know what? I'm an alum. You're not. You have the ability to get out of there if you can.
No, they get mad if I don't wear a purple or orange tie.
No.
Come on, man. You got to do it all. You're in for all of it. And, but luckily there's security right there. They do a pretty good job of the security tries to separate the bench and the,
right,
what's going on the court. Certainly with our guys out on the court, you never know what's going on, but, they take pretty good care of us and our opponent.
I got to tell you, the building renovation has probably helped in that way because you don't have to go through that. Everybody doesn't have to go through the one tunnel at the end of the floor anymore.
Yeah.
You got a couple different ways you can move around. So, all right. Here's the funny thing about this league. It's funny for all of us because we're not coaching it. You win a game like Saturday. Now you turn around and you see four other teams with you stuck in the same spot, and all of you have two games left this week. Now, you know, some teams in this league only have one left, but you've got two games left. You're coming off a big win. Now, you've been here before. Have you gotten accustomed to the way you get ready to go to Blacksburg for Friday night with Georgia Tech? All those things that kind of roll back on you this time of year when you're in a fight, and, well, we got them here now in this league for sure.
Yeah, I mean, certainly you got to get your guys focused on what's next, and we got to go to Blacksburg here on Wednesday, and then we host Georgia Tech, so I'm a guy that talks about the week with our players right at the beginning, and we'll certainly address that here. We were off yesterday, so we'll address it this afternoon with our team. Mm-hmm. You know, we know we're just going to have to go play very well. Winning on the road in this league is really hard. Mike's done a great job at Virginia Tech with his team. Their kids play extremely hard, and Landers Nolley is as talented as almost anybody in our league. So they shoot the ball really well. We're going to have to go up and figure out a way to score against a very good defense. So we got our work cut out for us, and we need two great days of practice.
It's only been since November 5th since you've seen them. I think there have been a few games played since then, right?
Yeah, there have been a few. I vaguely remember that game, and mostly because I don't want to remember it.
I understand. By the way, do you want to ask my partner the question you were asking him before we came back out of the break that he refuses to answer? Well, he doesn't refuse to answer.
What was the question?
Yeah, the golf, man. You've given it up. What's the deal with that?
I just have not hit a bad shot in 22 years.
I heard you were this big time golfer. That's the rumors from your days down here in Tigertown.
You know, there was a time in my life where I knew where it was going, if that's what you're asking.
Sounds like somebody wants to tee it up with you, Pop.
But nobody knows where it's going.
I did. You know what? I really know where it's going right now. For the last 22 years, I've not hit a bad shot.
Hey, Brad, here's the deal. like 18 months ago, he went to Top Golf in Charlotte with his family. And the big lefty over here said it took about how many swings? 8 to get it groove right back?
And we start feathering the 7-iron out there.
Feathering the 7-iron. Yeah.
So a little cut shots out there.
So I think he's a candidate for Top Golf. So during the offseason, if you want to wind your way up here, heck, we'll meet you down there off 85 in Greenville. And
that'd
we can just go at it to Top Golf there.
How about we just do this? I'll meet you at the Smoking Pig. I'll bring my wedge and we'll take a bite and hit little 60-yard wedge shots in the back.
That sounds even better. I'm all for it.
All right. Hey, congratulations. Thanks always for the visit, and good luck this week.
All right, guys. Thanks. See you in Charlotte.
All right. Brad Brownell.
He's going to see us in Charlotte.
He's going to come to the basement. Then he might come to Greensboro. He'll be in Greensboro. We'll see him in Greensboro.
I'll put him back in the Ford F-150. We'll just drive up I-85. You're good to go.
Come here and meet you right up here with you to the tournament. Is that the way you'd like to do
it? Stop by Lexington for barbecue. We'll go to the ball games.
I wonder if Brownell's been to Lexington barbecue.
Oh, I bet he has.
Sure he has.
Who hasn't?
Well,
I tell you what.
Here's the deal. If you're coming to Greensboro, this is a public service announcement, isn't it?
Well, I don't know what you're going to say.
If you're coming to Greensboro for the tournament and you got some time on your hands, you need to drop down to Lexington, don't you?
No doubt.
Yeah. You think you like barbecue? That's what you need to do.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Packer and Durham live from Greensboro, 7 to 10, Friday morning.
Is that 7-ish?
7-ish. That's it.
All right.
Four after the hour. I'll be right there. 7:04.
We'll be in the greater Greensboro Coliseum complex area vicinity. Right? Because it just says live from Greensboro. We could be
Brown
like
Summit.
On
we'll
90,
Brown,
we'll we could be Brown on 95.
Be in Brown Summit. Maybe right Colfax. Colfax. Be over there at Colfax.
You'll see us.
Summerfield.
The dogs are not coming, by the way.
The dogs aren't coming to the tournament, people.
No. So don't ask us, hey, where's Chester?
Where are them dogs? They're not here.
They're waiting for me back home.
All right. When we come back, there they are, right there, on the floor, in their best positions.
It's like Chester's stolen the ball. That doesn't happen very often.
We're going to go to Winston-Salem when we come back. My man, Shaundy Brown, guiding the Deacs to wins over Duke and Notre Dame. Wake Forest on a roll now.
Yes, sir.
At Carolina, at NC State, Friday night this week. Packer and Durham continues in a moment on ACC Network, Sirius XM 371.
Packer and Durham from the basement on a Monday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Thanks to Kelly Gramlich, who joined us in hour one to break down the women's tournament, which starts this week in Greensboro. You just heard from Brad Brownell, fresh off another top six scalp in Little John. They've been unbelievable. Three of those they've had this year. And now we go to Winston-Salem, where all of a sudden the Wake Forest Demon Deacons have gotten a little mojo heading into March.
Let's think about who's had a better week. Nobody. You beat Duke, then you turn around and validate it by beating Notre Dame. And O-Town Shaundy Brown joins us here on the show. First of all, congratulations on the two wins. You guys now have won 3 of 5 down the stretch. What's been the difference toward the end of the regular season, Shaundy?
Yes, sir. I appreciate you. Thank you for having me on the show. Just we've been having a lot of good practices leading up to games. We've been really focused and locked in and listening to our coaches on what we have to do each possession. And for our different teams, like, you know, Notre Dame, we realized they had shooters, so we had to – we did a lot of closeout drills, but we just listened to our coaches and we bite in on defensive principles and we all play together as a team and we ended up with two great wins, but the road is not over yet, so.
Right. I want to get your kind of timeline on this. Olivier Saar joined us. Was that last Wednesday after the Duke game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got in at 4 a.m.
Olivier Saar gave us a 4 a.m. arrival back to the room after the Duke win. And then he was with us at like 8:30. Is that right, Pac? Mm-hmm. 8:30, 9 o'clock. What was your estimated time of arrival back to the room, as they say in college, after the Duke win? If Olivier Saar is a 4 a.m. guy, you're a veteran guy. You had to be later than that, right?
Nah, I was about like 2:30. I don't think I slept probably like a couple hours that night too. I didn't really sleep like that night. But we were just all happy we beat Duke. We knew that this was a huge win. We know that since last time we beat them was 2014. Mm. So it was a great win. So we all celebrated. We knew that we had a great, great chance of beating them because we led up to great practices that whole week. So we all just had to do what we usually do in practice and just play hard and just compete like our coaches told us. And we ended up successful. So,
well, I'm concerned about the toilet paper shortage in Winston-Salem because, man, the quad's going to get hit left and right, especially if you guys pull off another one tomorrow in Chapel Hill.
Oh, yes, sir, most definitely. That's a tradition we always do at Wake Forest, and we're just going to keep that streak going. You know, a lot of students, a lot of fans came out and supported us last game and the Duke game. So we just, you know, appreciate their support, and we hope that they can keep doing it.
Shondy, we've talked about, obviously, since you've returned to health, it's been huge for Wake Forest. But the other thing is the year-to-year improvement of a player like Olivier Saar is just off the charts. Brandon's always been the leader. Andrian's had moments. You guys have collectively done a lot of things. Jacoby, everybody. But what Olivier Saar has done from one year to the next, can you speak to it as a guy who's been through that improvement process and what it means to the team to have a big playing like he is?
Most definitely, the way he's playing now, I'm not surprised. He puts in the work. He's been working all summer. Every day before and after practice, he's been working really hard. So, I mean, they kept playing him behind. So I'm like telling everyone, just keep giving him the ball. He's a great player. He's gotten way better since his freshman year. He's developed. And like I said, he's playing in the gym. So I give him all the credit. I'm not surprised at all. So, you know, I'm happy, really happy for his success. I know that he's going to keep it going. And when I do well, he's happy for my success. So we just play off each other, and I'm just happy the way he's been playing.
Shondy, I tell you the thing that was impressive about you guys against Notre Dame is you come off the emotional game of Duke.
Right.
And for people on Tobacco Road, they totally understand that. And you guys get off to a great start. You got a comfortable lead. You knew Notre Dame was going to make a run, and they did. You mentioned the fact that they got a bunch of great shooters. But the fact that your team responded after Notre Dame's response tells me that you're dialed into what Danny Manning's saying, and you believe right now that your team is playing as well as it's played all season long.
Most definitely. We just wanted to send the seniors out right. Like I said, we played them before. They got us a little bit early in the season. But we just realized that we just have to, you know, leave the seniors out right. And we just know that they have a lot of shooters and we have to all be dialed in. They made a little run in the second half, but we knew that that was going to come. So we just kept playing hard, doing the defensive principles that we do every day in practice. But and we came out with a great win. So,
all right, let's talk about now. You got the two wins last week. And then sometimes social media can be an interesting creature, Shondy. Let's be honest, right? I mean, you know, all of a sudden you and Dave Clawson somewhere get in this football deal. How did this happen?
Well, Coach Childress made a point in practice where I had – in the Duke game where I had don't want to lose ball, and he mentioned that Clawson would be happy. Somehow that was recorded, and it was put on Twitter.
Go ahead.
Then
we got
Dave Clawson saw that. Okay. Then Coach Clawson saw that and said that, you know, we have practice tomorrow morning this certain time. So, you know, it was good for me to just to be dressed out and, you know, go out there and just, you know, be a spectator as a football. So, you know, I used to play football, so it was, you know, not that much of an adjustment, but, you know, it was just fun.
Hey, Shondy, what did you think when Coach Clawson blew the whistle and said, hey, time for the Oklahoma drill? I mean, he wasn't messing around with that basketball dude coming out there now. He was going right for it.
Oh, no. I've done Oklahoma drill multiple times, so I'm used to it. So I'll be ready for it, though.
I love it.
I got to be honest with you. You look pretty good in a football jersey now. I mean, I can tell
you. Yes, sir.
It wasn't your first trip with the helmet on. I knew the way you ran out there, like, hey, he's been there before.
Oh, yes, sir. I played many, many years. So, you know, growing up, I played football before I started playing basketball. So I played many, many years. But, you know, just kept me tough. I knew basketball was always the main sport, but football just kept me tough. And I just played for fun. A lot of my friends played in the neighborhood. So I just, you know, played with them, you know, just to do some other activity.
And you look at some of those defensive backs and say, hey, man, you don't want none of this. You don't want none of this. They come throwing it over there, go right over the top of you.
Oh, yeah. They could just, like I said, they don't see too many 6'5 receivers, so.
That's it.
So, yeah.
And by the way, in your illustrious career there at Wake Forest, we ask this question all the time to our student athletes that show up on the show. What has been the most difficult course that you've had at Wake?
It's been a couple, but I would say probably communications 120. It's it's a lot. A lot of papers, a lot of movies you have to write. I mean, a lot of movies you have to watch. So it's just a lot of papers. But, I mean, I'd probably say that was the most difficult course. But, you know, like a school at Wake Forest, nothing's easy. You have to earn what you put in, so.
All right, so what was the go-to movie?
I'm trying to think.
Were they classics?
Yeah, they were classics.
Was there something that you
I watched a little bit of Bonnie and Clyde, yes, sir.
Bonnie and Clyde
with Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway.
By the way, if I asked you who would be Bonnie and Clyde on Wake Forest basketball team, how would you answer that question?
I don't know. I got to really think about that. Yeah.
I got to tell you.
Think about that.
You know what? After watching you guys practice a couple times and doing one of your games, and I'll see you Friday night in Raleigh, you've got a great coaching staff. Danny Manning, you know, everybody knows his career, right? But with Coach Walters and Coach Childress, I mean, Rex Walters is on the staff now, Steve Woodbury and Brandon Childress. You got four guys that can ball, Shondy, on that coaching staff. I mean, like if there were a pickup game and it was a 4-on-4 game, your staff might win a lot of games.
Most definitely. A lot of them, well, most of them, they all play professionally overseas or in the NBA. So they know what they're talking about. They've been through our shoes. They've been through what we've been through. They know what they're talking about. So we just, all of us have to do a better job of buying in and knowing what to do when they ask of us. But, you know, like I said, they all play. They all been in our position. So they know what they're talking about. So, you know, our best thing is to listen. So, and that was a big thing for me coming in too. I knew that, a lot of the coaching staff played professionally or overseas. So I just knew that I wanted to get there. So I just knew I was going the right way and I just had to listen to them.
I'll tell you what, they still got an edge to them too. Mm-hmm. If Brandon Childress wasn't in that strap for his labrum, surgery, I wouldn't want to tangle with him. I know why Brandon's tough as he is if he had to battle Randolph in the driveway on a regular basis.
Yeah. I tell you what, though, Brandon and Olivia, they could be your Bonnie and Clyde combo. I mean, they'd be kind of a perfect Bonnie and Clyde.
Brandon and Olivia?
Yeah. That'd be a pretty good tandem, no doubt.
Shondy would be the setup guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That'd be
driving the getaway car.
That's it. You drive the getaway car while they, yeah. Hey, thanks for the time. Good luck tomorrow night in Chapel Hill and then the regular season finale on Friday night in Raleigh.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Shondy Brown from Orlando coming off his fifth career double-double for Wake Forest. The Deacs beat the Irish on Saturday, and they are in Chapel Hill tomorrow night.
That becomes all of a sudden a really intriguing game. Both teams
yes,
are starting.
Does.
Again, it's a Tobacco Road special regardless. And I know both of them expected to have better years, but they are both coming off feeling good about themselves weeks, right? And it's been a long time for both of them to fall into that category. And for North Carolina, you know, the big one before the road trip to Duke, I would think that North Carolina fans would be kind of excited tomorrow night, especially if you watched them Saturday, because I thought North Carolina was out of sight on the road at Syracuse.
Yeah, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock right here on ACC Network for the Deacs and the Tar Heels. I got one for you going to break. Wake Carolina tomorrow night. The series has had unbelievable games, great heroes, singularly with that game, by the way. What's your most vivid Wake Carolina memory?
Scoreboard, Greensboro Coliseum.
Lee Foy?
Yeah. That was it. Because I remember.
Eddie Payne, Lee Foy.
And I can tell you why I say that. Because I remember being on the school bus. Coming home.
Listening on the radio?
Listening to it on the radio, which if you grew up in the state of North Carolina, right. You know I'm telling the truth.
We're going to explain this next week, by the way.
For folks outside of the footprint, you won't say, what are these two morons talking about? But growing up in the state of North Carolina, the ACC tournament was really a state holiday. And in school, they would bring out the televisions, and you would watch.
When they started televising those games. They didn't always televise that day,
correct.
The afternoon.
But for sure, you would carry a radio with you, and you would either watch the games. Right. You would watch the games, you know, in study hall or whatever it was, or you would listen to it nonstop.
Yep.
And I still remember listening to the Wake Forest, North Carolina. Was it 1975?
I can't remember. The tournament you're talking about is it was 74.
It's in
74
the
70s. Is the scoreboard game. 75 was when Carolina came from behind, Brad Hoffman, I think, hit a shot out of the corner or something like that.
They had so many.
Yeah. But it's unbelievable how good the Carolina weight game
is. I just remember listening to Gene Overby. Mm-hmm. I think it was Gene Overby.
Gene Overby was the voice of the Deacs. Yes. And absolutely.
Like, it hit the scoreboard and people were just screaming. Like, did it hit the scoreboard? And I'm on the school bus thinking, oh, I can't wait to get home and see what this looks like. What in the world is going on?
I wonder if we could find the scoreboard video.
Ooh. Somebody surely has it somewhere. That's the one. There's, like you said, there have been so many great Wake North Carolina games, but that one I will never forget. That was crazy. Now, keep in mind, that's back in the age that one goes and everybody stays.
Oh, yeah.
So that was it was a different temperature in the early rounds of the ACC tournament back then. And it didn't matter if your year stunk, you get hot for 3 days, you're going.
Yeah. There you are.
Yep. It was good, man.
Greatest game ever played in ACC basketball history was the 74 ACC tournament championship game.
That's right.
Maryland, NC State.
Yep.
All right, sit tight. When we come back, we did crown champions this weekend in the ACC.
Multiple.
We got some baseball for you. By the way, I got a note from Elliot Avent he wanted me to share with you.
Oh, good.
We got some softball to tell you about. Tough weekend for Georgia Tech. In baseball, we'll get to all that and more. Packer and Durham rolls on a Monday here on ACC Network and SiriusXM 371.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
All right, we had some good, bad, and different over the weekend. In all their sports, we had champions claimed this week.
We
NC
did.
State swimming and diving.
Yes. But we also have Shaundy Brown video.
Oh, you have that?
Oh, yeah, we got it.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
I'm going to go there first.
Did you see this?
I have.
By the way, when he runs on the field, this is where it starts. Brandon Childress's dad, Randolph, showing Shaundy Brown diving on the floor. And then spring practice tomorrow, 8 a.m. So who shows up at 8 o'clock spring practice yesterday or Saturday morning? Game day, by the way. By the way, he cuts it in a jersey, doesn't he?
And he looks the part.
Yeah, he looks the part. You can tell he played ball. First time I saw the video and I saw him take a jog on the field. Look at this jog on the field and you really know. Look at that. Look at Clawson. 6'5 running out here at me. Got the shield on. I respect that. Right to the Oklahoma drill.
That's what I love about Clawson.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to man up right now.
We're going to see right now.
I love it.
He hit the pad, by the way, before the before he got out of there and went back to the shoot around. Right?
Yeah, here we go.
I'm just going to tell you that Eric Swoop played basketball for Jim Larrañaga at Miami. Had played a little bit of high school football growing up in Lake Elsinore, California. And now plays for the Indianapolis Colts. And needless to say, Tony Gonzalez played both in college. But Sam Clancy of Pittsburgh back in the day. Jimmy Graham got one game of football. And I'm not throwing Shaundy Brown in there, but folks in the National Football League are looking for guys like that.
Well, we were kidding around with Shaundy a second ago. You know, those D-backs, they don't like seeing those 6'5 wide receivers come over the middle.
No, sir. And ones that got a little thump like he does.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Believe me, Dave Clawson was checking him out coming through the tunnel going, hey, wait a second. 6'5, I can use him.
Hey, what are we doing?
Frisbee catching dogs, what I call them.
Yeah. Let's get caught up on baseball and softball and lacrosse and championships if we can.
Right. Which one? I mentioned NC State swimming and diving. We'll go whatever sport you want.
Well, we probably ought to start with baseball.
All right,
let's start with baseball.
That's what you want. That's what you get.
ACC went 6-3 against the Big Ten this weekend. Another weekend of games at the Big Ten. Some of them in Minnesota, by the way.
Yeah. And, the most positive news out of all that was the fact that NC State is 11-0.
Yeah, they are. That's right.
Elliot Avent is yet to taste defeat in this baseball season.
And he will be with us on Wednesday on this show,
doing it, man.
And he sent me a note that I'll get to in a moment.
All right. Duke's also playing well. North Carolina salvaged a win yesterday in the ACC Big Ten Challenge from that perspective. And there was some good and bad news, big picture,
yeah,
in the league. Good news is Clemson won their series against South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bad news is Georgia Tech did not against Georgia.
No, they didn't.
Florida State dropped two tough wins to Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Which is disappointing. But I tell you what, how about a team like Pitt? And we're talking baseball.
Mike Bell's done a great job.
They've yet to have a home game, and they've only lost once this year.
Yeah.
Now, the season's 2.5 weeks old. They're off to a blazing start.
Yep.
Duke's hot. Louisville's gotten back on track. The league's really good. I mean, it's, you know, we're going to get into heavier into baseball as it progresses, but obviously basketball as we come down to the end with the women's tournament this week, men's tournament next week, March mm-hmm. Madness. But there's a lot of baseball news, which is good.
Lacrosse side ACC went 5-1. Duke a couple wins. Syracuse, Virginia, Carolina all got wins. Maryland beat Notre Dame. That was the only loss in the league. Carolina, Virginia Tech, Notre Dame all get wins in women's lacrosse. Syracuse went to Maryland, beat the Terps in that venue change game because Maryland wasn't able to travel. And then, by the way, Clemson softball.
How about this story? They're in first place.
Huh?
They're in first place.
I know. They won six straight. They swept Virginia this weekend. Huh?
Somebody on Twitter, after Clemson knocked off Florida State, said, hey, man, we're a basketball school. And, of course, every time I see that, I do respond. I go, excuse me, it's a golf school. And then I had like 10 immediate corrections. No, you're all wrong. It's a softball school. I mean, for a program that just got on its feet.
Right.
I mean, we've already seen a no-hitter. We've got a first-place team, brand-new stadium. I mean, they've really got it going on down there.
Just saying, right?
Crazy.
Pretty good, right? Wouldn't you say?
I mean, we know Florida State, right? We've seen a national championship in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who knows? Long season, but a great start.
Congratulations to the Tigers. Off to a fantastic start in softball. Look forward to seeing where that goes.
NC State swimming and diving domination continues. We had indoor track and field championships. The ladies for Virginia Tech, the men for Florida State. Get the hardware. They're taking it home.
The NC State swimming and diving thing is
outstanding.
Remarkable.
Wrestling, swimming, diving. Who says NC State can't have nice things? They got the hardware, man.
You're the one that says they can't have nice
hardware. So that's what
you
I'm talking about.
You say they can't have nice things.
Got to win. You win, good things can happen to you, West Durham.
All right, when we come back, Power Hour is on the way next, including best and worst of the weekend.
Oof.
Oh, there's some good. There's some bad.
I bet there's an inadvertent whistle in there.
Oh, stop it.
Guarantee it.
All right, Power Hour with Packer and Durham coming up next on ACC Network, SiriusXM 371, and the ESPN app. Stay tuned.